Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Dusty and Cam in the morning.
Relax. All right? My old man is a television repairman. Got the ultimate set of tools. I can fix it.
With Dusty Fan Man Hera.
I know Kung Fu.
And former pro Cam Cleland.
You ought to spend a little more time dealing with yourself. A little less time worrying about what your brother does.
Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
Pucker up, buttercup.
The Fan.
All right, 55305 is the Better You Today text line. Our textual relations. Is it worth paying your quarterback with the changing landscape of the NFL, young quarterbacks having to load up on that defense, and smart front offices now? We're talking that because Kirk Cousins was bad last night. And if you look at it, the top five quarterbacks in the NFL have a current record of 22-39, the top five highest paid quarterbacks. Meanwhile, a lot of guys on rookie deals are leading divisions. Or quarterbacks that have recently taken pay cuts, Tom Brady and Drew Brees, namely, have taken pay cuts, and their teams are back up on top.
None of that. That's the other. The falsity is that just because you pay a guy a bunch of money doesn't guarantee you anything. Just guarantees you that he's going to make money.
And he will
the
be
wins,
there.
Yeah, but wins are, yes, so that he's going to be there. It's kind of like the insurance policy. You're paying an insurance policy.
Yeah.
It's there, just in case. In case you need him in a minute.
Horrible way to feel about your quarterback.
No,
though.
But that's what they are. You're there because you could say, oh, he's going to be here for 4 years, but he's one injury away from never playing again, Alex Smith. That's what football is. It's the best sport, the NFL by far, because there's so much parity. You think Andrew Luck's going to be around for 15 years? Oh, my gosh. No. No.
He's
but
not.
You're paying it for now.
Yeah.
Football is a play-to-play, month-to-month sport.
It is.
That's it. It's not like basketball. You're not locking these guys in for 10 years going, well, he's going to be around for quite some time. He's going to give us a chance. You're just hoping they give you a chance.
It will be interesting to see.
Because then you get a Matt Ryan experience where you're up 28-3.
It will be interesting to see what happens with this playoffs. How many, we can go back and look over this list again, how many of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL are for this year are in the playoffs? When it comes down to it,
yeah,
how
when it's
many,
all said and done.
How many are in there? Because Russell Wilson, it looks like he and Drew Brees are kind of the only two guys that are locks to get in right now. That are, for 2018, the highest paid of the top 10 quarterbacks. Because Ben Roethlisberger's ninth. He may not make it. Andrew Luck is fifth. He may not make it. It'll be nip and tuck down to the end to see how many of those top 10.
And
because
it's
if it's 20%, is it worth it? And that's the question.
It's always worth it to pay.
Yes.
Okay, if you believe it, if you fan base, if your general manager and your team believe, yes, it's worth it to pay. But what's also exciting is it makes us think about, wow, it's never going to be good anymore because all these quarterbacks are leaving. All these guys are old. Tom Brady's old. Aaron Rodgers old. Everybody's old. And then you get to see these young guns and these kids that are they're in their 20s and these guys that are in their, or like Russell Wilson turning 30. Football's in a great spot for a lot of good quarterback play. Just everybody wants one.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It is.
There's only 32 jobs in the world that play like this and only 10 that'll get you in the playoffs.
And that is the...
On average.
That's why everybody makes those reaches and tries to keep those guys that may not be the elite of the elite, but you're sitting there going, gosh, he's better than what we could have down the road because how many busts do we have in the NFL? How many guys just don't make it in the NFL?
Thousands.
And so it's a crapshoot.
Every year. 2,000 players. How many of those guys are really good that will change the way the game is played or can play long? And at the quarterback level, too, we were going through all those numbers of all those guys making money, looking at that.
Yeah,
it's a great job if you can find a way to stay in it. I mean, for gosh sakes, Ryan Fitzpatrick still making $3.5 million.
All right. Right now, well, more on that conversation coming up a little bit later in the show. This hour, we will have a little college football notes. Ducks getting a bowl boost due to a new rule. That coming up at 7:30 and some more NFL chatter and why nuns went to Vegas. But right now it's 7:07.
What's hot?
Who can?
What's hot and why is it cool?
They're cool because they're hot.
Hot and cool with Dusty and Cam. Your morning dose of positivity ripped from the headlines.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
Brought to you on the fan by Area Heating and Cooling. With more than 30 trucks in Portland and Vancouver, you won't have to wait on Area.
Hey, breathe easy, Duck fans. Kansas State has hired North Dakota State's Chris Kleiman as their head coach, meaning Jim Leavitt will stay in Oregon for the time being. That was the one job he could take without penalty.
You know, that never really carried a lot of weight nationally. You never heard about Jim getting on one of the flights. You know, the flight trackers are out right now. Everybody's tracking the tail numbers on all these airplanes flying around. Never made the trip, so you don't have to worry about it.
Buzz is that the athletic director at Kansas State did not like Jim Leavitt, and he's the guy that promoted Kleiman to the head coach at North Dakota State when their coach left for Wyoming. So that makes sense when you read it that way, you know? It's all about who you know, right? Who you know when you know him. We know one team not trying to sign Bryce Harper, and it's a surprise. The New York Yankees will not go after Bryce Harper. Brian Cashman setting his sights on Manny Machado instead.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, but...
they don't need an outfielder.
Apparently
they need a
not.
Better shortstop.
Apparently, though, there is a deal that late last night, I have not seen an update. Late last night, it was in the works, and it was just rumored at that point, but they said that the Mets, Yankees, and Marlins were attempting a three-team trade that would send Gary Sanchez to Miami. Miami's hot prospect catcher and some more prospects up to New York, and Noah Syndergaard would go to the Yankees. But
I saw that.
I don't know if that's stalled out or what, but I haven't seen anything since.
Do you think Miami and New York have a start of a relationship that could last for a long time with Derek Jeter?
You mean collusion?
Not just collusion. You think they kind of just use each other's systems? Just go back and forth?
Like a wink, wink, nod, nod. Hey,
yeah, we'll see you later.
What?
We're not worried about you. You know, you're in the AL, I'm in the NL. Let's just, yeah, you know.
You mean Derek Jeter still on the Yankee payroll?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's...
It's kind of their... The Yankees farm system is the Miami Marlins. Mm-hmm.
All right, another top-tier player will not be playing in a bowl game as Will Grier is backing out of their bowl game for West Virginia. They play Syracuse in the who gives a damn it's not on New Year's Six Bowl.
Right. Unless you're in a New Year's Six Bowl, folks, just get used to this. This is going to be more and more the norm as more guys are going to announce. The agents are going to get in their ear. The money's in. All of you out there that would be upset about it, if you were trying to line up a job that could pay you, I don't know, 6-7 figures, what would you do? Would you risk it?
No. It appears that West Virginia will turn to Jack Allison, a sophomore quarterback who's attempted 10 passes this year for their camp. It's the Camping World Bowl.
Yeah. Cool.
So get ready for that. Get ready for that one. All right, the Portland Trailblazers back in action tonight. They head down to Houston to take on the Rockets. That game will be on NBA TV. It is one of three games tonight across the association. This is your Tuesday night NBA TV double dip. Last night, we saw the final game between LeBron and Dwayne Wade, unless they meet up in the NBA Finals, which nobody's expecting. LeBron won 108-105, and they had a love fest afterwards.
I did. Great. I saw they took each other's jerseys off and swapped and signed. And it's been a bromance for a long time.
Warriors got Draymond Green back, but Steph Curry's 38 points lifted them to a 116-108 win over the Timberwolves. Of note for the Western Conference, start clinching because DeMarcus Cousins is now playing in the G League and getting ready to make his return. That's terrifying.
Are they
going to
be better with him? Yeah, be better.
I think that they're going to be okay this year.
I'm still going to be quite curious to see how he fits in.
Everywhere he's gone, he's not fit in very well.
Yeah, so I don't think it's a slam dunk that he just
fits in. Oh, I don't know.
In.
New Orleans, he fit in very well.
Did
not
he?
The first season.
No,
he fit in. Ask the Blazers how well DeMarcus Cousins fit in.
No, he didn't play in the playoffs, and
I know,
they swept
but before
it without
that,
him.
They were playing really well. They were starting to play well.
Yeah.
You know?
Anthony Davis
said he loved him.
Did he? Well, of course, yeah. Big guy.
Also, do you know who's in first place in the Western Conference right now?
Denver.
No.
Used to be.
It's the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Oh.
Yeah.
Your turn to rotate.
They beat the Jazz 122-113.
Yeah, so far we've had Thunder, Clippers, Nuggets.
Blazers.
Yeah, don't forget
Warriors.
About the Blazers. Buck.
Okay.
All right, the top story, though, is the Seattle Seahawks escaping Monday Night Football with a 21 win over the Vikings. I say escaping with a 21-0 win because they scored 15 points in the final 3 minutes of that game. They blocked a field goal when it was 6-0. Bobby Wagner did. Controversial block. But he blocked the field goal. Then they go down, score, and then they get a defensive touchdown. Boom. 21-0. That was a great game.
I don't know about you, but one guy stood out to me, and he's having a great year, and that is number 55, Frank Clark, because he got that strip sack. And it was he played fantastically.
Yeah. Bobby Wagner's getting all the shine from that game, and rightfully so. Yeah, well, Wagner played great. But Frank Clark was everywhere.
Yeah, man, he is having a great year. He is a dude in that team on defense. Everyone wants to look back to that Legion of Boom. I'm telling you, they've done a great job. This is Pete Carroll's best coaching job.
All right, that's what's hot and cool on the fan. It's brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling. Right now, Area has great discount offers on qualifying equipment from Trane. Start saving today at areaheating.com. The Raiders put him out of his misery. 7:14 on the fan. Yeah. I said 21-0. It was 21-7. Got a late touchdown, those Vikings did.
Yeah, you get one of those courtesy touchdowns at the end. You know those? Those sneakers. Well, everybody can play a little different kind of defense.
Garbage time.
And Kirk Cousins made a pretty good. Was he over the line? No.
Yes. But are you? Yes.
The rule, again.
Oh.
Again. What does the rule say?
Hold on. That is completely different.
Black and white. Black and white rule. Any part of the body touching the line, around the line.
He's behind it. So, yeah, he was actually good. No, what it was, Booger McFarlane got the rule wrong. That guy. He said if any part is over, then then it's an illegal pass. Yeah. His toe, he did the drag the toe.
He did drag the toe.
Drag the toe was behind. So, yeah, legal. Legal. Yeah. Yes,
legal. I thought it was a legal play.
Legal play. Legal play because he drugged the toe.
I thought he was going to run for it, and then he just went, nope, sideways.
The Bobby Wagner one, pretty clear. Illegal. But Seahawks caught a break. And it's okay to admit they caught a break.
Well, if you're going to wait for the referees to give you a break, sorry, you'll be waiting the rest of your life.
Well, no, Seahawks caught one there. Still don't think Minnesota would have scored. Still don't think they would have scored. My gosh.
Yeah.
The previous trip
Who
down,
had it worse this last weekend? What happened to Philly and those crap calls?
Philly.
Or what happened to the Seahawks and the Vikings?
Vikings, Philly. Hands down,
yeah,
100%.
I agree completely.
Because from the opening kickoff to the fourth quarter, Philly got hosed.
Yeah, they did.
Reggie McKenzie was put out of his misery yesterday. He was officially fired as the general manager in Oakland. It's officially John Gruden's show now to run. Mm-hmm. All by his lonesome.
What did John Gruden say? I had nothing to do with this meeting. He mentioned that I was not in the meeting and that we both work for the same boss.
Okay. It's just...
Who had to fire him?
Hold on.
Certainly, John Gruden did not fire Reggie McKenzie.
No, it was Mark Davis. But didn't we all see this coming?
Yeah, no, I'm not defending this at all. Gruden knew what he was doing. He came in with power. And it was just a matter of time for Reggie McKenzie built an entire roster that made playoffs and was a very good roster. If Derek Carr doesn't get hurt, what was that, 2015,
mm-hmm.
when he broke his ankle?
Well, it was Derek Carr, then their backup got hurt, and then they were down to like their third string guy.
Yeah, that was Jack Del Rio had a really good team that year. Yeah. And they would have made a good run into it, and then losing to Houston, I think, because the guy, what was Michigan State's quarterback?
Stanton.
Was it Stanton?
No,
it wasn't Stanton.
Oh, you're talking for Houston?
Yeah, No. The Raiders, Michigan State's quarterback, who ended up playing against Vernon Davis or Vernon Adams. So anyway, it doesn't really matter because now we're watching what Oakland is exactly what John Gruden want, ultimate power.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to gut everybody, get rid of everybody. He didn't want any attachment to any hang-ons because if you want to put your own stamp on identity and you have a 10-year, $100 million contract, you got to start from scratch, and he's gutting it just completely. And that's what it's like to see Mark Davis, who's probably the worst owner. I mean, he's right there and one of the most inept owners, but he's going to trust that John Gruden's going to do this moving forward for Vegas. I don't have any problems with it because all they did is beat the Steelers this week, the lowly Steelers.
Well, I'm not going to buy that one. Steelers
and Reggie McKenzie's going to land on his feet immediately, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's right back to Green Bay.
You know what is funny to me, though, is that Reggie McKenzie is like, well, he only had two good drafts. Two good drafts is enough to win you a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
two good drafts, or look what two good drafts did for the Seahawks. And his two good drafts were really good in that it was Derek Carr, Khalil Mack, Amari Cooper, and I think Latavius Murray was in there too. I mean, you got two good drafts and you get four great players.
When you build a playoff roster.
You can.
That's good.
You can win a Super Bowl. Like, correct me, oh, you only had a couple. He did great. He did great there. And then they dismantled it slowly throughout the course of this year. It was, I give Reggie McKenzie credit for not just going out double birds saying,
we probably,
you know,
did.
What?
We probably did.
I built this and screw you guys, I quit. He ended up saying, all right, I'm going to see this thing through, and what'll happen? He got fired.
Well, he take the high road. Reggie will get a job immediately. He's a very good guy, very smart. Comes from that tree of Green Bay, comes from with John Schneider, relationship, all of that. So there's going to be plenty of jobs that are going to want Reggie McKenzie around because he can evaluate talent. He knows that. Yeah. He just ran into a buzzsaw of a guy that gets a bowl cut, drives a minivan, and John Gruden is Chucky. You're not going to win that battle with those two.
No, you won't. Connor Cook is the quarterback. Thank you,
yes,
Jess,
thank you, Connor Cook.
Wasn't correct. That Connor Cook versus Tom Savage in the playoffs?
Yes, it was. It was a really bad playoff game.
Against the Texans?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa. But why should I feel, if you're a Raider fan, why should you feel that this is going to be any different than what has been happening over the last 15 years in Oakland?
What do you mean?
Dysfunction.
Dysfunction
is what I mean.
Well, I think John Gruden's that guy that can kind of just, he's going to be the well, he's a stalwart. He's a mentality. He's going to be the leader. He's the true leader of that entire franchise. So when you get ultimate power, remember, there's always been a couple coaches that have had ultimate power. I can think of just a few. I mean, even if you want to tell me Bill Belichick has ultimate power, he kind of does, but the Crafts will trump him. John Gruden's not going to get trumped at all. He's going to be able to make every decision from personnel to probably the people even work in the building, players, coaches, everything. And so that's a lot of pressure. But I think the only way that he was ever going to come back to football is if he can control it all. That's a control freak.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
But that doesn't answer the question, why will this be better than the years of dysfunction? Because, I mean, like, yeah, he's one man that has control, but
the Raiders hasn't been functional since he left.
Yeah, right?
That's it. That's the only answer, is that you go back. Remember, the Raiders love nostalgia, and I think all Raider fans love nostalgia because it's cool, because history is awesome. From John Madden to Al Davis and watching what they were able to do, and Art Shell and these classic Raiders. John Gruden's the last time you were even credible. Think about that.
Yeah, but last time that happened, remember when the Redskins brought Joe Gibbs back to try that same sort of deal? Like, history isn't kind to bringing back that guy because he was the last person to be great for you.
Yeah, but Joe Gibbs, if you think about Joe Gibbs, he left, he became a race car. He owned race cars. He had a different, just a whole different deal, is that his focus was away from the game, then he tried to come back. John Gruden's never been away from the game. He never has. He's always been, from his quarterback clubs to the way he analyzes football, the way he stays up with everything. He's right there. I'm still a fan of it. I love watching. I think it's great for the Raiders. And when they get to Vegas, I think it's going to be awesome.
I hope he gets it right because, I mean, if it fails, everybody will look to Khalil Mack, Amari Cooper, and the firing of Reggie McKenzie. And those are going to be the three things that really turn the Raiders for the better or the worse, because you have three first-round picks this year. And John Gruden has a lot, and maybe the first overall pick in the draft this year. Actually, I think they've played their way out of getting the first overall pick. But yeah, they're tied with San Francisco with the worst record in the NFL, I think, at 3-10. You could have potentially the first overall pick in the draft and two other first rounders. You can build a roster that should be able to win and win right away. And it'll all be hinging on these next couple of years here with John Gruden, as Reggie McKenzie is out as general manager of
Mike Holmgren was another good example. Thank you for the text line, because Mike Holmgren had the ultimate power with the Seahawks. I don't think that ever worked out perfectly for him. And then he also Mike went to Cleveland to become their GM and ran into that. It's mentally, I don't know how a coach really can be the general manager. It's so difficult. I've seen it from the inside and watch coaches, how they fight and how they get so upset with each other, because a coach will say, I want this guy. And a general manager will say, this is not the type of player I'm going to give you. You need to build this way. And there can be internal strife all the time in players. And then your pro personnel director will walk in and say, what are you guys telling me to look at? And then none of them agree. That's what happened at the end of the days with the Rams, and that's what happened when Mike Martz got kicked out. I got to see that happen with Jay Zigman and John Shaw. They all just started hating each other. This is the dysfunctional side. So if you're going to give power anymore, I think it is the head coach you have to do, but you have to be willing to swallow it if it doesn't work.
My favorite story of the NFL right now is, speaking of the dysfunction, Washington. You see that they've already given Mark Sanchez the hook. Josh Johnson on the team for less than a week. Name the starter this week. And he was using Madden video games to
learn his guys.
To learn his teammates' names this week.
Didn't Josh Johnson hasn't completed a pass in 5 years.
Okay. I think he's been on like 12 teams.
Five years.
But here's the thing. Doesn't this show that there is a need for a league like the AAF,
which
he was drafted into just last week?
College isn't good enough.
And now he is going to be the starting quarterback for the Redskins because guys need their opportunities. Well, and Josh Johnson could be that like poster boy for why the XFL and AAF should be leagues that develop, that the NFL uses as development.
Well, not just development. They should be using for development for quarterbacks. I mean, if that's all this league ends up being is the quarterback development league and kind of like the wide receiver league, fine. Great. Perfect. Good. Make all the rules so you can pass. Nobody cares about – you can be play great defense in the NFL. Nobody cares about that. Let's be at the Big 12 passing league. Yeah.
All right. 55305 is the better you today. Text line. The Oregon Ducks are getting a bowl boost due to a new rule. Here's Buck with SportsCenter. The Oregon Ducks are going to be the beneficiary of a new rule in college football. That new redshirt rule is pretty cool, and we talked about it when it was first passed in legislation. That if you look at it this way, we're going to see some freshmen that are going to be playing in bowl games because you can play in four games and still hold your redshirt year, right? And that's great. That's going to be a bold change, and when guys like Will Greer are sitting out, you know, West Virginia may see a quarterback that's redshirting this year and they're throwing passes. But Oregon is benefiting from that rule in a different way. And they will be getting the services of linebacker DJ Johnson, who's a transfer from Miami. Played last year as a true freshman at Miami. And he's going to be able to play in the bowl game because he left Miami and enrolled at Oregon in January of last year or of this year. So, with fall term being complete, he has participated in a full calendar year of classes at Oregon. And so now what he can do is be eligible to play for that 1 year sit out rule and not waste a year of eligibility.
Yeah, it's nice to know that these bowl games do give a lot of these younger players an opportunity. Yeah, you get to play four games.
Well, this is different than that.
No, I know, but that's what my point is that the younger players can't take advantage, but how they've structured rules now where guys can transfer and you can get in with the school and then grad transfers and all these things, these variations that we never used to see now coming and being used across the country by players. It's not like there's free agency out in college football, but there is a little bit of, hey, I get my degree, or if I transfer, if I sit out and I use this in a certain way, and if I do make a bowl game, I get 15 extra practices. It's all about the underclassmen or new players' opportunity for the coming season to take advantage of.
Yeah, we're going to start seeing a lot of guys, instead of spring transfers and stuff like that, you're probably going to see them in the winter now, because if you go the DJ Johnson route, you can get that full year under your belt, and then you could still play and not waste a year, because this has always been the rule for transfers in the one school year thing, full of credits, but now he won't be a wasted year. So next year he'll be a redshirt sophomore year because he's using his redshirt year this year at Oregon. So the Ducks going to have some reinforcements at linebacker, and this guy's highly touted. He was a four-star recruit out of high school, played immediately at Miami, and then transferred to Oregon. So
There's a couple things that have done have changed college football. I think first of all is that one, certainly being able to be eligible in that calendar year, the 4 years or the four game rule. And the other one is early enrolling. All these things have changed so much. I mean, kids are forgoing their full year of high school to early enroll. So all these factors means that more experience, more time, because why? There's no patience with, especially at quarterback play, but guys that can contribute right away. They want to get you in there, get you in the playbook, get you in the system, lifting weights, studying, doing all of that. They're like, forget high school. nuh-uh, we got to get you in. Got to get you going after it.
Yep. Also of Pac-12 note, Mike McIntyre got a pay bump to be the defensive coordinator at Ole Miss.
Not really, but he did.
He's making a lot of money. He's going to be paid $1.5 million per year to be the defensive coordinator at Ole Miss.
Okay, so
which is a lot of money.
It's a lot of money because the highest paid coordinator in the conference right now is Jim Leavitt at 1.7.
Yeah.
Mike McIntyre is in the SEC now at Ole Miss. He's going to make $1.5 million. Isn't that incredible to think that he's going to go down to Mississippi, state of Mississippi, and make more than any other coordinator than Jim Leavitt in the Pac-12 conference? Yet, he's also going to make some extra.
Well, yeah, because he has a, with that $1.5 million, he also is getting his buyout.
Which is what, a 10.2?
$10.3 million that he'll be getting paid through 2021. So he's going to be set to collect about $4.9 million per year through the next 3 years.
Yeah.
When he's at Ole Miss.
And not,
unbelievable.
Isn't this, as we listen to coaches getting paid these exorbitant amounts of buyouts, I think the buyout money is going to break this year. It's going to be incredible of all the coaches that are getting bought by Petrino buyouts, all these other buyouts of these coaches that are just going to have so much money, and their agents are smart. They've handicapped these universities in the amount of money. This is, again, goes to the Pac-12 conference. Colorado is now going to waste, in my opinion, waste money on Mike McIntyre that they could be paying for facilities, other coaches, other things within the conference that make them better. Yet they're going to pay a coach to not coach anymore because they don't have all that extra revenue like they do in other conferences. Like the SEC is like, fine, we'll waste it. And all these other things we can do. Yet a players, and we talk, see players, their movement and young college players not making and any getting paid. It's just an exorbitant amount of revenue now in college football.
Yeah, this is a, he's got a really good agent, Mike McIntyre does, because usually they have the offset language where whatever he's making at his next school will be taken out of the buyout. He doesn't have that. The only ones that he had, his only, quote, offset language is if he became a head coach in college football, a head coach in the NFL, or an NFL assistant coach.
Yeah.
It said nothing about being an assistant coach at the collegiate level to affect his buyout and help
super smart
Colorado out. So now Ole Miss is going, all right, we pay him $1.5 million. And he's like, perfect. Mm-hmm. I'll make $4.9 million per year over the next 3 years.
Wonderful.
And he gets monthly installments for it. My gosh, it's good to be a college football coach.
Well, it's
too bad there's not enough money for the players, though, you know?
No, there's no money for the players.
It's a real shame. It's a real shame.
I still don't think players need to get paid. I've always believed this. I don't think they need to make money. They now.
I do.
I'll say it over and over again. They should be able to go to a pizza shop and sign a hat if they want to sell their likeness. They should be able to do that and make a little money by signing their autograph because it's their name. They don't need to be paid by the school. If a guy wants to give him $50 for a hat, here's $50, sign 20 hats, no big deal. But he should get medical and they should get a 401k.
Yeah, I think if you were paying a guy $10.3 million to go away,
I think you
should be able to pay. Because, I mean, what's the difference in what you just said? I mean, then.
Because it's not coming from university money. Just medical insurance is huge because guys don't get that. I've always said that. And a 401k incentive. You get 4 years at our university and you get to put in an X amount. Let's say, what's the max for 401k right now? $18,000, I think, a year is your match. So you match that. You just say, hey, well, if you play 4 years, you get a match certain amount. And then once you graduate and get your degree, you can tap that 401k. At least that is something to lean on when you graduate and you get your degree in medical is just give me some sort of medical fund, any sort of fund you can tap into and use in case you ever have a spinal injury or anything, a knee, and need a knee replacement at age 28.
Yeah, I just say give them money, man.
Well, and I think the problem that I have with it is that, a 401k gives them money later, but there are so many fat cats getting rich off this right now. Yeah. Like, why should people who aren't playing get millions while the guys who are playing get nothing?
It's a great question, Buck. I don't know how to mix that and make that.
Because I don't
still getting
think
something.
They
remember,
get salaries.
They're getting on average. If you go to a major university, you're getting a $50,000-$60,000 a year scholarship. Plus, you're getting experience.
Yeah, I'm not saying there's not value to that
opportunity and all these other things to educate yourself. So it's not like these guys aren't getting anything.
Right. No, I'm not. Yeah, but I'm just saying there's enough money to go around to not make them millionaires in college.
Like I said, medical and
give
a 401k.
Give them some walking around money, though.
Well, they do get walking around money. They get cost of attendance. Well, they get scholarship checks.
Give them more money.
Oh.
There's plenty to go around.
Yeah.
Plenty to go around. Did you see Auburn's new offensive coordinator that Gus Malzahn hired?
Yeah, it's Gus Malzahn.
No, they hired a guy named Kenny Dillingham. Yeah. He's 28 years old, and he was the offensive coordinator at Memphis this past year. This dude's got an incredible story. Apparently, he was in high school. He was like a linebacker who was like a FCS-type level linebacker. Mm-hmm. Tore his ACL. All his offers went away. So he just enrolled at Arizona State. He's from that area. And I guess he was just in school. And then Chaparral High School, which is a powerhouse down there in Scottsdale, they let him come on and coach, and that's where he went to high school. He ended up being the offensive coordinator and was so good. Mike Norvell was the OC at Arizona State, hired him while he was a student at Arizona State.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
To coach at Arizona State. And he's just like this, at 21 years old, they brought him in.
Gets it.
And he's kind of worked his way up. And when Norvell got the job at Memphis, he brought him along with him. And he's just kind of like, he's the new wonderkin of college football. He's like Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan.
Everybody's looking for this hot young he's talent, full of it. He is not it until he's it.
He's Dillingham.
Daryl Bevel went to Chaparral High School, I just learned.
Look at that, Daryl Bevel.
Really?
On As Minnesota did, staff, did
Paul
you
know? Paul Konerko and Taylor Lewan.
Daryl Bevel's on Minnesota staff, pretty sure.
Is he?
Is he quarterback's coach?
Is he Minnesota or New York? I have no idea where Daryl Bevel is now. Just click on that link in Wikipedia, Buck, and it'll send you right to him.
It doesn't say anything about him having a job right now.
Okay. Maybe he's already fired
from
there.
The last thing listed is Seattle Seahawks offensive coordinator to 2017.
Yeah. Memphis's offense, by the way, with him at the helm of the offensive coordinator position, averaged 543.3 yards per game, 285 yards rushing, and 43.6 points per game. Not bad for your 28-year-old offensive coordinator at Memphis. And now he'll go and sit behind Gus Malzahn while he calls the plays and probably get a ton of credit for that as well. You have a Daryl Bevel update for me?
No, he just doesn't have a job.
Interesting. A job. I thought he did.
At least not according to Wikipedia.
Well, yeah. I heard yours, Buck, but I'm looking over at Cam, and he's got this look of intrigue about what it could be that he's finding on Daryl Bevel. Maybe we'll have an update to Daryl Bevel, but one thing I do know will happen next. Nuns went to Vegas, and they're in some hot water for it. 7:45 on The Fan.
It's time for a great coaching report. The inside story on winning strategies and leadership in sports. Brought to you by the law firm of Harris, Velasquez & Gibbons.
Well, I don't feel that there's been anything accomplished yet. You know, I'm happy that we're playing good ball. We know how we want to do it. We're in the mentality that we've been in other years when we've really finished really well and we've done a lot of some damage going on. It's available to us. It's there now. And I'm really excited about that. But I'll talk to me after we accomplish something. We ain't done nothing yet.
Ooh, Pete Carroll.
On
man.
To Cincinnati, huh?
Jeez. Only at 8-5 right now and some separation between them and the Minnesota Vikings after beating them 21-7 in Monday Night Football.
Man, we're moving on to Cincinnati. It's Pete Carroll giving you the hold. Pull back the reins a little bit yet.
We're on to Cincinnati. The schedule gets a whole lot easier for the Seahawks now. They've got the 49ers and Cardinals with the Chiefs wedged in between them. Great coaching report brought to you by Harris Velasquez Gibbons. Exceptional attorneys working together for your advantage. Trust, confidence, results. Visit HarrisLawSite.com today. Two nuns in Torrance, California are in a little bit of hot water. Well, actually, not really. The nuns running St. James Catholic School in Torrance are accused of embezzling $500,000 in tuition, fees, and donations, spending the money on trips and gambling at casinos while telling the parents of the school that they are operating on a shoestring budget. Sister Mary Margaret Krupper and Sister Lana Lang were embezzling from the school for at least 10 years and going to and spending the money on lavish trips to Las Vegas.
I find this funny, but I also don't find it funny that they took money from people and thought it was funny that they were just going to take everyone's money. But it is humorous that the nuns were doing this.
Did they watch like Sister Act and then be like, being a nun sounds pretty cool. We can start a badass choir. We can do basically whatever we want.
Were they in full garb when they went to Vegas and did their trips?
Good question, Cam. Good question. I don't know. I'm sure we can get some surveillance footage.
Who's the sister for Sister Jean?
Yeah.
Sister Jean would have never done this.
For what? Loyola Chicago?
Loyola Chicago.
Isn't that it?
She had a bobblehead, man.
She got
a Final Four ring. Did you see that?
Nice. Actually, you know what? We don't know if Sister Jean would have done that. I'm sure if we looked at Sister Mary Margaret, I don't think that you'd be going, yeah, she's embezzling $500,000.
Now, are these sisters from, you know, I'm not abreast on the Catholic religion down to a T, but do you think these were later converted nuns, women that decided to change later?
Born again.
Yes.
Or are you talking like that sex
might,
change?
No. No, what I'm talking about is they might have had an epiphany later in their life and decided to become nuns. And then said, well, I really like to go to Vegas and do that. I can still do that.
I don't know how that goes down, you know, but don't you, in the Catholic religion, when you become a nun, don't you like take a vow to live under poverty, chastity, and obedience? Isn't that it?
That sounds right.
I think that's what it is.
I'm not going to make any claims. Not going to make any. I don't know.
My knowings of the Catholic Church, I think that's basically what you do. And this is breaking that poverty one pretty
significantly. But if you're
going
to go out, like that, might as well go to Vegas.
You may be wondering how many years in the slammer are Sister Mary Margaret and Sister Lana facing? None. The Catholic Church will not pursue criminal charges because the nuns apologized.
Oh, they said sorry.
Oh, that's nice of them.
Sorry. Yeah.
What did you say, Dusty, were the three?
It's poverty.
That's one.
Chastity and obedience.
Yeah, you got them. Those are the three vows.
Bingo. Good for you.
And they're breaking them.
But they said sorry.
I went to Catholic school for
a year.
They
said sorry.
You're also an ordained minister.
They asked me not to come back.
Yeah, they said no. Get out of here.
Okay, what were you saying?
No, I just said they gave what's the total? $500,000?
Half a million.
I'm sure somebody wrote a check.
Yeah. Oh, the church just said, yeah, we make this go away?
No, I don't think so.
But here's the thing is that they said that what they were doing was after all of the school's expenses were paid.
This is the leftovers.
They just skimmed a little bit off the top and said, how about a little something for the sisters here, huh?
They office spaced it.
Yeah.
You know, just fractions of pennies over time.
And it became
Superman 3. They did the Superman 3 theory.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
And then now they got caught Vegas. Yeah, I will say maybe their hearts were in the right places. What if it was a shoestring operation and they were just trying to double the school's money?
Sure.
That was the one thing that crossed my mind. I'm like, what if they had a hot tip and they were just like, you know what? No one's going to notice it's gone because we're going to replace it and have a little more on top of that.
What if
they went for the parlays?
They roll into a Vegas casino and who's going to accuse two nuns sitting there in their nun penguin costumes there, as the Blues Brothers said, sitting at the blackjack table? Who's going to accuse them of counting cards? Yeah. What if they figured out how to count cards and they were making money for the children?
For the kids.
For the children.
Think of the children.
Mm.
Won't somebody?
If that was your money, would you be salty?
Yes.
You're paying an arm and a leg tuition. You find out the sisters are heading to Sin City.
Go back and slap the kids with the ruler. Stop it.
Here's a good joke. How much jail time will Sister Mary Margaret and Sister Lana face?
None.
Text police. Hit it again. 55305 is the Better You Today text line. Coming up next hour, a mutiny in Chicago. Is it worth paying your quarterback? And how about so much for that new NFL? 755 on the Fan.